My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, man. Let's get into it. I'm Kyle. That's James. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We love the homies at Jiffy Lube. We have a little bit of an announcement coming up later on in the show. Just a small one.
Oh.
Small one. Not a huge deal. I don't want to, like, I'm not downplaying a big thing. It's just kind of a little announcement.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
I hope so. You know what it is.
Well, that's the best part about getting older, Kyle, is that you forget everything.
You just...
everything is a new and exciting thing for me, even though we talked about it 45 minutes ago.
Great. Okay, yeah. No doubt. We'll have that coming up a little bit later on in the show. We will also have your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game coming up a little bit later on. We will give you the keyword for that for your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and your chance to enter to win a Sacramento Kings jersey. So... the Kings beat the Grizzlies last night, 103-94. And I find myself in a spot where I'm contradicting my own thoughts.
Okay.
Because yesterday we talked about the 49ers win over the Lions, right? And we talked about Brock Purdy and the analysis of Brock Purdy and the 49ers, and I said, you know, it feels like at the end of everything, we forget that the point of the game is winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the point of the sport is to win. The 49ers won their playoff game, and now they're playing for a Super Bowl. And if they win that, they will be the champions. Regardless of what you think about how this player plays in a vacuum or that player, just the point is to win. But then conversely, I watched the Kings face whatever version of the Memphis Grizzlies that was last night. A G League version.
That was not even a version. I don't even know what that was.
I don't know what their G League affiliate is.
The Hustle.
The Hustle?
Memphis Hustle.
Of course it is. So, it's like if Tony Allen was a basketball team.
That's right.
No, so they played the Memphis Hustle Grizzlies last night, and the Kings play really poorly for most of that game, and then they just had more NBA players on the court and pulled away in the final minutes and won it by 9. And I sit there and I go, I mean, I guess, yeah, you won, but to what end?
Kyle, I kept thinking, is this the Detroit game where you just get off to a bad start? You give up 47 points in the first quarter,
yeah,
and then you just roll them up.
Yeah.
But then I started at some point, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, you know, texting back and forth during the game last night. I didn't think that there was any moment where they were going to lose, but I was worried at one point. I'm like, well, this is starting to look more like the Charlotte game, not the Detroit Pistons game. The Charlotte game where they were, you never felt like they were going to lose, and then all of a sudden, Terry Rozier, like, gets, like, he catches fire and just starts, right, like, hitting everything possible. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, are you kidding me? Really? You're going to lose to this team? That's where I kind of got last night. And then it's like, oh, wait, no. No, that's just not a good team. And I would say that Charlotte at least has professionals where, I mean, we can talk all day long about Jaren Jackson Jr., but that team is just a hot mess. And they did get the ability to sign three more 10-day contracts today just to try to fill out their roster so they don't have to go into every game with seven or eight players. Absolutely bizarre what's
happening. Welcome to the stage, Jaren Jackson in the 10 days.
Yes, exactly.
Oof. He's a fraud, by the way.
I like Santi Aldama, though.
Santi Aldama can play.
Yeah,
so can Gigi Jackson. Gigi Jackson can hoop.
Yeah, he's going to be really good down the road.
He's the best player with the last name Jackson on that team.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't stand watching Jaren Jackson play basketball, dude.
Gigi Jackson turned 19 like a month ago.
Jaren Jackson Jr., 22 points, 3 boards, 2 assists. And that's your guy?
Look at his shooting percentage.
Shot 6 of 18 from the floor.
And how many threes?
0 for 4.
33% from the field.
Your reigning defensive player of the year. Your starting center for Team USA basketball at the FIBA World Championships had as many rebounds as he had turnovers last night.
And the guy he was playing against, what did he do?
The guy he was playing against tied his franchise's Sacramento-era record with 26 rebounds. He did not have 26 turnovers.
He didn't
have as many rebounds as turnovers.
Sabonis also set, in regulation, that was the highest rebound total in the history of the franchise.
Chris Webber in 2001 had 26 in OT.
The Sacramento era. It's not the history of the franchise.
Right. The Sacramento era.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis had twice as many offensive rebounds as Jaren Jackson had total rebounds.
Yeah, that's
just
wild.
Kicked his ass. And that's supposed to be a defensive player of the year, all NBA tech. Get out of my face with that.
I know people are like, oh, should he make the All-Star? No, he shouldn't make
the
All-Star.
He had that one play.
Team.
He did have that one play. Okay, you know what? Credit where it's due. Talking about Jaren Jackson here. He did have the one play where he put the ball on the deck and did the like behind the back dribble into the little Euro step for a layup or a dunk. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was a really nice play. And in that moment, you go, oh, I see it. And then he just stinks the rest of the game. No, this is not a Memphis Grizzlies show. So it was Domantas Sabonis last night.
Yep.
20 points, 26 boards, 5 assists, just dominated, 10 of 11 from the field. Down the stretch, he's getting the ball, he's getting in the lane, he's scoring, offensive rebounds, putbacks. But I have a hard time walking away from last night's game and going, hell yeah, 4-game win streak, the Kings are rolling. Because that didn't look like how the Kings have looked lately. And that's where I'm torn. It's like, okay, they had a bad night. They still pulled out a win. You'd rather that than lose that game. But at the same time, you and I talked about this yesterday. The chances that they were going to lose that game were very slim.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, can you come out and just punch a lesser team in the mouth and dominate a game start to finish? And they just didn't. And so that's the yin and the yang of where I'm at right now.
No, I totally get it. And I think that there is a question about like how you do win games. But at the end of the season, when you look at the entire, the totality of the season, and you see that they beat, you know, again, you beat the Memphis Grizzlies by 9. That's all you're going to really worry about. It's even going to log into the category of teams that you held under 100. You
know? Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And I think what you can't do is you can't have a game like this against a much, much lesser team and then come back the next game and expect to play that same way and to come out with a win. And for me, it's like this can't be the beginning of a trend. You got the Miami Heat, and what they don't need is a South Beach flu. Mm-hmm. They need to go in and take a team that's it's relatively good, but take them serious.
I'm a little worried about the South Beach flu aspect of this. You get a day off in Miami?
Yeah. I don't know.
I wasn't sure, but according to a social media post from G-Man last night, they got into Miami early this morning.
Oh.
And...
You know, he was out partying late.
Of course.
At least he was sitting at a very nice restaurant that makes very good food in the middle of the night.
And just enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely a little bit of a concern, but go on.
Yeah. I mean, what you have to do is you have to show up and be the team that you should be against Miami Heat.
Yeah.
And I don't like that you're playing to the level of your competition, but if you're going to play down to the level, play up to the level and play above the level of the Heat. And stretch this thing out. I mean, you could get to a five-game win streak, but also 10 games over 500. That's really a marker that everyone looks for.
Yeah.
This team is really not that bad, but it's these games where you want more out of them that you're not getting it. And I think from top to bottom, outside of Sabonis, it was one of those games where you're just waiting for anyone else to step up. And it just never really happened for anybody. I think the second best player in that game was probably Kevin Huerter. And then Fox had some moments, but, you know, 8 of 14 from the field? I'm not sure, like...
He shot their only 10 free throws.
That's wild.
De'Aaron Fox is the only player who drew a free throw last night.
That's just completely wild.
Here was my big overarching, because, like you said, if they go down and beat the heck out of Miami, and Miami struggled, I think they've lost like 7 in a row. Something like that. They're struggling. But if they go down and beat the heck out of Miami, let's just say they go win by 20. Nobody's going, yeah, but you know what? They only beat Memphis by 9. Like you said, totality of the season. But the big takeaway for me last night was if the Sacramento Kings and their level of talent entered every game with the mentality that the Memphis Grizzlies have entered games with this year, even with John Morant, after John Morant went down with the injury, you'd have a team that would be a really, really hard out in the West.
Yeah.
But that they continue coming out in these games, and this has been we talked about it in November, and it was like, it's still November. Talked about it in December, it's still December. Early January, okay, well, let's wait to... It's January 29th yesterday, it's now January 30th, and we are still talking about, gosh, you know, they just need to be able to turn it on and play with more force, and it's just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm having a hard time, I think, reconciling. Like, 9 games over is awesome. Chance to get to 10 games over is awesome. Domantas Sabonis has been on an unbelievable tear. They didn't play a great game last night against a bad team. They still pulled out a win. You love all of that, but it's that mindset. It's that intangible like attitude going into a game where Memphis went in last night. They went 7 of 10 from 3 in the first quarter. They defended their asses off for 48 minutes.
Yep.
They just played super freaking hard. And that's what we've been asking for the Kings all year on a just night-in, night-out basis. And I think last night they didn't have that. Memphis did. And I think that's why this is sticking out so much in my head as a meaningful performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end, Kyle, this keeps happening. That's the problem.
Yes.
Like, it's a trend.
Right.
Right? And the fact that they escaped with a win, all right, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the value of wins, I guess at some point, they need to matter more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is one that you would chalk up to almost a bad win.
Yeah, in the context of the entire season.
Yes.
Because if they were kicking the heck out of bad teams and just not really having a if this was... Hey, off night here and there, good. They still got to win. Hey, you take it. But this is, like you said, this is part of a larger trend that I think is a problem at this point.
Yeah, and their talent is too good to lose in some of these games. Mm-hmm. Their talent level is too high.
Yeah,
they just can't lose because they have too much talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into these games, these other games where it's just like they don't show up at all. I don't know.
No.
Like, a win is a win is a win, Kyle.
It sure is.
There's a little tiny asterisk next to some of these where you're like, come on.
No, in the scope of last night, it was a win. It is a good win. You get back to 9 games over. That's great. A plus. You went into Memphis and you came out with a W. Forget the context. You got the W. That's great.
That's right.
But in the larger context, I think there's a discussion to be had. Let's start diving into this game with 6 quick thoughts with James Hamm. That's coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, no Zach LaVine trade yet.
No.
We're keeping a close eye on it, though.
No.
Keep it locked to ESPN 1320, where the moment Zach LaVine is traded, whether to Sacramento or elsewhere, we will have it for you. We'll break it down from all angles. Yikes, man.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. I was reading Anthony Slater in The Athletic today, talking about the Warriors' trade possibilities.
Got a little dicey up in there, didn't it?
Kinda. They're in a similar spot. Not in a similar spot. You know, with the Kings, we talk about like, well, you can't give up, if you need a big piece, you need to give up major assets, and are not giving up Keegan Murray. So what realistic asset can they go get with the Warriors are in a little bit the same spot, but like in a worse version of it.
Yeah.
Because the Kings are looking to like ideally shore up their playoff rotation. The Warriors need like starters. And they don't have the assets to go get that or the money to afford that. So they're kind of rock hard place.
I can't believe that they're not already looking to cut salary. Because we did the math, right? I went to Eric Pincus, the great salary cap guy, Eric Pincus. They've shaved $6 million off their cap. It equates to $44 million between tax and salary savings. For $6 million! Are you kidding me?
I imagine there will be some kind of move of that nature coming down at some point.
Yes.
But it won't be significant enough to make the Warriors a factor for Sacramento. And let's dive back into the Sacramento Kings win over the Memphis Grizzlies last night with James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know.
Yeah, he does.
Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Kyle, I feel like we need to make these really quick. Domantas Sabonis posted a double-double before halftime, giving him 28 straight. One shy of the season franchise record. I have now been corrected here of 29 set by Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson's real record is 31, but it came over two seasons. There's two at the next season. So Sabonis now, someone has moved the goalposts.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Oscar Robertson single season record is 29 consecutive.
Oh, double doubles.
Double doubles.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about rebounds.
No. The record.
I was very confused.
The record is for double doubles.
Got it.
Is different. Yes. So the record is 31. So he still has a ways to go. Well, three games to go for that. But yeah, 26 boards were a career high. Also tied a franchise record, well, Sacramento era record with Chris Webber, who did that in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good game.
Good player. Really good player. Number two.
Sabonis kept the Kings within reach. I felt like he was the only one that kind of was playing like to a level.
Mm-hmm.
Fox waited until the fourth quarter to make his presence felt. 23 points, 8 of 14 shooting, 4 assists. Better late than never, but realistically, it wasn't a super engaged performance by De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, he's been better of late. Looked more like MVP caliber Fox that we saw earlier in the year, and then just last night, that's the thing is De'Aaron Fox is good enough that he can have a night where it's not super impactful, but he still goes for what he finished with 23, 5, and 4. Like there's a lot of guys that would be a career night. So, I mean, it's not that he's playing poorly. He set such a high standard earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And if the Kings are going to make any kind of noise in the playoffs, De'Aaron Fox has to be better than he's been the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it for me.
He's had 3 or 4 games, which are nice,
mm-hmm.
but there's been plenty of games like this where you're just like, okay, we're not super engaged here. What's going on?
Yeah.
Number three. Impactful. Switch has been hit by Kevin Huerter. He's figuring out a way, man, to impact the game without it just being scoring. He hit a couple of late shots to get to 17, but 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing defense. He's engaged. He's fully trying to get better and help this team by doing the dirty work. So kudos to Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big reason that as he was struggling shooting, it continued to not be a major problem because he was doing other things. And the fact that he was still rebounding, he was still passing, he was still hustling on defense, it made you think the shot was going to come around. He wasn't entirely disengaged from the process of playing basketball.
Yep.
And you see the shot starts falling, and now you're adding that to the... what's the word I'm looking for?
Arsenal.
Like the additional impact that he's making, and
yeah,
and you have a really, really quality player.
No, I think so too.
Yep, number four.
Ice cold. Harrison Barnes coming off a monster 3 games. He went 0 for 7 from 3 to start the game. I think there's a good thing hiding here, though. He starts 0 for 7. He finishes 2 for 10, which means he kept shooting. And for Harrison Barnes to come out of a game with 5 of 15 from the field when he isn't, like, lights out, that's kind of a big deal. 4 assists, 3 rebounds. I like the fact that Harrison Barnes didn't just go sit on the bench and get replaced because he wasn't hitting his shots. And, you know, mm-hmm. good for him to actually find a way to impact the game.
Yeah. Team high plus 15 for Harrison Barnes last night. And honestly, if you're going to get that kind of, I mean, 3 rebounds isn't awesome, but it's better than 1 or none.
Mm-hmm.
But you love the 4 assists. If getting him more shots means you're getting him more engaged elsewhere in the game, I think that ultimately makes the Kings better. And you're gonna get a couple of bad shooting nights.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what happened last night.
I think so too. And hey, look, your big man had 26 rebounds.
Yep.
He was on a tear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number five. Need a recharge? Malik Monk is struggling. He came into the night averaging 8.8 points per game over his last 4 games on 18% shooting from 3. He had another quiet night, 3 points, 5 assists, and we've seen this from him before, 1 of 4 from the field. We've seen this from Malik before where he goes through a stretch where he loses his legs or something, but it's also a focus thing because the turnovers, you know, they were bad. Like, it looked like he's just trying too hard to figure things mm-hmm. out. He might need like a mental break. So yeah, one of those stretches for Malik.
Yeah. It's it's so apparent when he's not playing. Like, there's just the vibe is so much different and the energy is so much different. So I don't know if it's a night off or it is just a slump for him, or he was so good earlier in the year that this is just a regression to the mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally sure, but again, as we start to look ahead to the playoffs entering February here, Malik Monk needs to be better.
No, I totally agree. A very, very strange game for Malik. So, yeah. All right.
Number six,
tall person. JaVale McGee, you know what he looked like, Kyle?
A tall person?
No, when you go to like third grader rec league basketball, but there's one third grader who, for some reason, hit the growth spurt way early and is like 5'7" and everyone else is like 4'2".
Yeah.
And he just stands above everybody and he keeps missing his shots, but the ball keeps coming right back to him and everyone's trying to jump up and foul him or do something and they can't do anything because mm-hmm. he's 1.5 feet taller.
Sure.
That's what JaVale McGee looked like. He just looked like he was way taller than everyone else that they put out there. And that's because, again, they have no bench. They have no starters.
Yeah.
The Memphis Grizzlies were a shell. I thought JaVale played well. He had 8 points, 4 rebounds in 10 minutes. I also think Trey Lyles came in and had a nice performance as well.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to get quality JaVale minutes, like that's such a huge win. And if he was bad last night, maybe they wind up losing. But they got a decent JaVale game when, I mean, they didn't get great outings from anybody else.
Yeah.
So you love to see that for our guy JaVale. That's big time.
Yeah, I mean, it's never perfect, but it worked.
I'm going to add a seventh quick Uh-oh. Thought. 19 turnovers?
Oh.
And not even... okay, so the turnovers where it's Barnes driving and he tries a little pocket pass to Sabonis and Sabonis isn't quite ready for it and it slips through his hands and hits the deck. Okay, fine. You know, that happens. But the careless cross-court passes that get intercepted and the just throwing the ball out of bounds.
49 seconds into the game, Kevin Herter threw a ball out of bounds, and everyone looked like, what are you talking about? He challenged a call.
Mike Brown did.
Mike Brown, 49 seconds into a game and lost. Kevin Herter just threw the ball out of bounds.
We talked about it before the game yesterday. It's like, hey, don't turn it over. Don't give this team life. Don't just go execute your offense. And they just did. And it's that carelessness. It's like the Kings are good. Okay. They're not good enough to throw the ball around like that and go beat a team by 20.
No.
Like they're just not there. They don't have the talent to go into a game carelessly.
No.
And they haven't been good enough all year, consistently all year, to go into a game like that. And that's where I would like to see them go beat the hell out of a bad team one time and just show like, yeah, hey, look, here's the energy, here's the focus, night in, night out. Like we saw it last year. That was the least of my concerns this year, was the Kings taking nights off mentally.
Yes, I fully agree.
And that they go into a game like that, they shoot it 11 of 38 from three. Ugh. But, you know, it's going to happen. Shots are going to miss. You can do other things to blow a team out when you're not hitting your threes, and turning it over 19 times is not one of them. That's just carelessness and lack of focus.
And shout out to the broadcast, which I don't usually do. They actually went to commercial break, not only missed the determination on whether the call had been overturned, but also they scored a basket as it comes back. And I'm like, what just happened? Like, did I just miss something? And then they had to go back and rewind and say, oh, this is what happened. They didn't get the challenge. And here's a Grizzlies going up 6-2. You're like, what is happening here? What is happening? So, yeah, a weird moment.
That's 8 quick thoughts.
8. 14 quick thoughts. James Hamm. 15 quick thoughts.
Thanks, everybody. All right. Does the Kings' recent winning streak, you know, last night aside, are we still talking trade at the trade deadline, or should the Kings be standing pat? We'll talk about that next. If you want to get in on that, at the Chatty House, it's youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, or you can give us a call, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Plenty of Kings coming up here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, that's James. Thanks for hanging out with us, whether you're listening on the radio, on the free Odyssey app, maybe you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. We appreciate you wherever you are. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We will have your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game coming up in just a little bit. I want to talk trade deadline. We're less than 2 weeks out. February 8th is the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 2 weeks out, and I want to talk about that in the context of where the Kings are now versus the last time we were really deep in the trade deadline discussions, where it looked like, okay, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter are for sure out of here. It's just for who. I want to recalibrate that a little bit in light of the last week or 2 weeks of games. But before we do that, I want to let everybody know that starting tomorrow, right here on this very radio station, in the lead up to Kings Heat, and then in the lead up to weekday Kings games, at least for now, weekday Kings game, we're going to be doing a little bit of a pregame show. It'll be the Purple and Black pregame show. It'll be me and James looking ahead to that night's Kings matchup, taking you right up to tip off. So that's going to be a fun thing that we'll be doing. It'll be half an hour before tip off of each Kings game. You know, barring if it's a East Coast start or something, it's 4 o'clock start and it's going to run up against D'Lo and Casey. We're not going to preempt D'Lo and Casey for us, but on most nights it'll be me and James here on ESPN 1320 with the Purple and Black pregame show.
There it is.
Hell yeah. And maybe it expands, but for now we're just it's just weekdays for now.
Sounds good.
Go sales team.
Go sales team.
Appreciate everybody. So that's what's going to be happening here on ESPN 1320 as we just kind of try and expand and bring you the best Kings coverage here in Sacramento. And of course, with James Hamm here, there's nobody who provides it better. So we thought that it would be best to try and provide more Kings coverage for all of you.
More is better.
More Kings.
More Kings.
More is better unless it's turnovers.
That's true. Unless those turnovers are like cherry turnovers.
Oh, I love.
See? I can always change it to a positive, Kyle.
With an apple turnover?
An apple turnover. And even like the peach ones.
I'm not a big peach guy, but I'll rock with a peach like Danish.
Yeah, but like, you know, the like Pepperidge Farms one that you like buy and put in the oven and the peach ones are so good that it's very surprising.
Yeah, like a peach, like I said, just a straight peach. Peach flavored like yogurt. No thanks.
No, I'm not in. Although I have been doing
like a peach cobbler.
The peach jamba. I have been doing the peach jamba.
Right, but that's got yeah. But that's got other flavors mixed in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. I'm in on a peach turnover. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Tom L in the chatty house brought up a question, and I think it leads us nicely into our discussion here about what the Kings do at the trade deadline because 2 weeks ago when we talked trade, it was, okay, it's a package of one of or both Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell, and maybe some picks, and what can you go get with that?
Mm-hmm.
But over the last few days, for Harrison Barnes specifically, and over the last couple of weeks for Kevin Huerter, you're starting to see them contribute more, and you're starting to see the Kings look more like last year's Kings. Last night wasn't great, but let's put that aside for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The previous three games, the previous three wins, they looked like, at least offensively, the Kings from last year. And I think it shifts the conversation a little bit, because now it's not just a matter of, hey, how can you get better? Because now it's, okay, if you're getting this out of Harrison Barnes, and again, last night aside, he didn't shoot it great last night, but an engaged, rebounds, assists, filling the stat sheet, Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a Kevin Huerter who is going to be a 40-plus percent three-point shooter and who's going to average 14 to 17 a night, and he's going to pull down some rebounds, and he's going to play some good defense.
At least solid defense.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to try on defense, which is like 60% of the thing. But the question now becomes, okay, how do the Kings improve at those spots? Because when Kevin Huerter wasn't shooting it and Harrison Barnes wasn't giving you anything, it was easy to go, literally anything will help. Literally anything will be better than this. But now I think you have to be a little more calculated. Oh, now that yeah. you get better versions of these players, now it can't just be, yeah, throw them out the door for anybody. And it makes me think that as we approach the trade deadline here, maybe there's a Kessler Edwards type of move out there where it's a future second round pick or a couple of future seconds for a wing type of player who may or may not contribute. But I don't know if there's this big splash move coming that's going to make them like significantly better than they are when Barnes and Huerter are playing like they have the last couple of weeks.
I mean, I get that, right? I just think that this isn't about a one-year build. It's not about 1 or 2 years of playoffs. And I think that there is a danger to buying into what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, again, we talked about wins. The win is all that matters in the end, right? But if you're winning and your team still has these glaring weaknesses, like you have to be honest about what your team is. And you have to keep resetting what the honesty level is, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked about it maybe 2 weeks ago. Would you trade Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell for Moses Moody and Andrew Wiggins? I mean, maybe you would. But at the same time, I think that that deal in itself, you're like, okay, if this is the type of Harrison Barnes, then I probably wouldn't do that deal. First of mm-hmm. all, the money is hugely different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Wiggins is still going to make a whole bunch of money over the next 4 years or 3 years, where Barnes is on a more calculated deal, like 17, mm-hmm. 18, 19 million. I'm okay with that, right? Especially if you're getting a young player like Moody that may or may not fit your system moving forward, all mm-hmm. that. But like, I don't think that Wiggins makes you better. And because if Harrison Barnes can be this still, and you've found the way to turn the switch back on, like now you just have to figure out how to keep the switch on. You don't mm-hmm. have to, you know, you can see that he can still be a very formidable player for you.
Mm-hmm.
You still need more though. And so do I change my ideas? Like when I'm looking in the trade machine, have I potentially pulled Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter out of potential trades and seeing if I could still work the same trades with Trey Lyles, you know, Chris Duarte and Davion Mitchell mm-hmm. that I could with the others? Because I think a lot of time we're talking cap filler for mm-hmm. for most of these deals.
Right.
Like even though Harrison Barnes is under contract for another 2 years or same with Kevin Huerter, they're realistically in a larger deal. They might be looked at more as cap filler that just to meet salary, mm-hmm. right? Now I'm looking at different ways to get to that salary number to see if there is an alternative route to get there. And I think that you can, like certain deals that you can do in a different way. And so, yeah, I think maybe it does change the way you're thinking about this team and the players that are on it. But you still have to be aggressive with the idea that this is hopefully a window of playoff runs. It's mm-hmm. not we got to get back to the playoffs. It's no, we need to build so we can be this team that we want to be like 5 years from now.
Yeah.
So we're a contender next year or the year after. That's what you're looking for.
No doubt. I guess that's where my question comes in and why this is so difficult.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. This is not about, yeah, hey, go get... That's why Zach LaVine doesn't make any sense. Maybe Zach LaVine makes you a little... And I don't want to dive into a Zach LaVine conversation. Just follow me. Maybe Zach LaVine makes you a little better this year because it's another score and he can shoot it and oh man, watch out. But down the road, that handcuffs you big time.
Oh yeah, and, it crushes and you.
Over the next 3 or 4 years, you are not going to be as good as you probably could have been had you not made that move. Okay, great. But on the other hand, I don't look at this team, even with Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes playing this well, I don't look at them and go, yeah, that's a title team. that's a team that's going to go hang with the Denvers and the Bostons and the teams at the top of each conference. I'm leaving out like OKC and Minnesota because I got to see it with them first.
Yeah, yeah.
But and Philly, because Philly's got to make the conference finals and the finals first. But I don't see the Kings hanging with those teams just yet. But this is what I brought up earlier, where it's a little bit of the rock and the hard place thing. They have a group where you're going, man, not a tiny change, but a small tweak to this rotation, a small tweak to the starting five or your top seven, maybe get you over the hump and maybe put you in that contender spot. But you can't make that move without dealing a player within that group already. And how much better are you getting? And that's why I think at this deadline, I don't think that move is there.
It might not be, but Kyle, we don't know all the moves that are out there.
No, sure.
And I think that's, like, I know that's, you know, no S, Sherlock.
Yeah, I mean, it
is. But the fact is, like, there could be something that really does make this team better.
Mm-hmm.
And they're weighing the damage it will do short term to get to the long term.
Yeah.
And that's, it's a very difficult thing. Like, swapping out, again, like, just the hypothetical, swapping out Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell and a first round pick for Jeremy Grant.
Sure.
That makes you better. Does it make you a contender? I don't know. It makes you much better. It gives you something that you don't have right now,
mm-hmm.
which is that long athletic guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it the thing that puts you way over the top and now you're investing in a 29-year-old? What you're mm-hmm. basically doing is running it back, but with like one piece swapped out.
Yeah, a little better version of what you're going to get out of Harrison Barnes.
Exactly. So if that deal, like, if it is there, then you start weighing the other things. Because, again, I think we can put Harrison Barnes, if this is who Harrison Barnes is, right? We can put him in a bucket that's a group of similar players. And you can all rank them how you want. But the fact is, they're all like tier three power forward / small forwards, right? So mm-hmm. the Kyle Kuzmas, the Jeremy Grants, the Andrew Wiggins, like Harrison Barnes fits into that category.
Exactly.
Like whether you love him or not, he does. He fits into that category.
This version of Harrison Barnes that we've seen the last four games.
Well, that and the version of Harrison Barnes that we've seen for the last 5 years in Sacramento.
Sure.
He's just a little bit older than all of these guys, mm-hmm. but he still fits into that same category. And now it's like, okay, how much better am I getting? You know, I sit here and I don't like the idea of trading a guy like Trey Lyles. I think Trey Lyles should be in Sacramento,
no doubt,
for a while. But at $8 million, and if I can stack him and a couple other players, and I can go get one of those other, let's say you can somehow get Jeremy Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the money works with Davion and Chris Duarte, and then you got to throw in one more minimum scale guy and along with Trey Lyles, and you can go get Jeremy Grant without trading Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do two things. Number one, I get better in my starting lineup. Number two, Harrison Barnes is a better player than Trey Lyles. I get better in two positions at one time with one move. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things I might be looking at. So I'm not playing on the peripheral. I don't think you can go out there and find a player that's going to be, maybe if like, again, like Caruso becomes available and you're able to go get Caruso and swap him in. But again, Caruso for me is very similar to a Matisse Thybulle trade or the Mason Plumlee trades that I was talking about last year. You might say he's a little bit better than a peripheral, but he's got to be better than the guys you have on the court.
Those are the type of moves that an already fringe title contender gets them over the top. I think the Kings are shy.
They're not
of that.
They're the one step below that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's an interesting discussion because you have to balance so many things. Like, mm-hmm. what would taking Harrison Barnes out of your locker room mean?
Yeah.
You know, what would that, you know, for the rest of the guys? How much damage could you do in that situation? And I'm not making a move because of that. If there's a trade out there that requires Harrison Barnes is put in it, it is, that's the reality of the business.
Mm-hmm.
It is there. He will be 32 in the coming months. Like, this is the way the game works, mm-hmm. and what you have to do if you're a franchise. you have to maximize your talent while you have it,
mm-hmm.
and you need to bail on that talent when there becomes a point where you've gone to a different age,
mm-hmm.
like with the rest of the players.
Yeah.
Like your core is a different age. And, you know, can Harrison Barnes play out the entirety of his contract? Sure, but I would not bet on that at all.
No.
And you know, I just wouldn't. You know, in my time covering the team, there's been one player with a 3-year or longer contract to play out the entirety of the contract. I asked you this one another time. You remember who it was?
I don't.
Kostas Koufos.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's the only player to play out a 3-year free agency deal or longer and actually stick the whole time.
That's so wild. One of the things that when we talk trade deadline and we talk what do the Kings need or not need, I go back to last night's Memphis game. And mm-hmm. I said earlier that if the Kings approached every game the way this Memphis Grizzlies team approaches every game, where they've got that dog in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is just, like, dude, they are going to scrap, they are going to claw, and that's just kind of the Grizzlies ethos and has been for 2 decades. But that's when we talk line and you talk a player like Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's got some dog in him.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant is going to play hard offense, and he is going to go get you a bucket if you need it on offense. But he can also knock it down from the court. And that's where, when Jeremy Grant, like, in a vacuum, you go, does he make you that much better? Like, probably not. But if he brings that attitude to the team a little bit and makes it so you're in Memphis aren't like, oh boy, they might lose this one, or makes it so you're not losing randomly to Charlotte or losing to a shorthanded Portland team, or pick your favorite bad Kings loss of the year. If you're in a couple of those games around, that I think exceeds what brings just on the court from a talent perspective, if that makes sense. I hope I'm reading that correctly.
No, I think I can even articulate it in a different way that might
Please
make
do.
Sense. When you look at Harrison Barnes, you think he's 6'7", mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'8". Think of Jeremy Grant, you think he's 6'9", maybe 6'10".
Yeah.
He's 6'7".
Yeah, it's a great point. That's a great point.
One guy plays much bigger
mm-hmm.
than he is. And mm-hmm. like his, visually, you think, oh my gosh, he's...
I legit thought he was 6'10".
No, he's 6'7", with a 7'3" wingspan.
That's wild.
And I think that that's what you're talking about. Like,
yes,
there's
definitely.
Just a player that you, like, it's always about like the noisy points of Malik Monk versus the methodical points of Trey Lyles. You know, Trey Lyles can have 16 points in a game, and you think, okay, Trey Lyles was a big reason they won this game. But you look up and you're like, when did he get to 16?
Yeah.
And then Malik Monk's at 12, and you're like, I remember every single one of those.
Yeah.
That guy was crazy. It's like he had 12 points, the other guy had 16. The other guy was more impactful than your guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way that they do it. And I think that there is like this really interesting way that we view players and it, just by visually watching them. So, like, look, there's a tall task here to improve this team and to make it much better and to figure out ways to keep building and building. And, you know, we talked about it during the break. The NBA, this is actually a big deal. The NBA just came out with their projections for NBA salary cap for next season, and it's at $141 million, which a lot of people thought it was projected at $142. Which is based off of like a whole bunch of
TV factors. Rights deals, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, but also like basketball related income, right? So the TV rights deal is usually pretty square. It is what it is. We know what it is.
Right.
But like things like jersey sales or streaming or ticket sales or like all that stuff, it goes into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the salary cap actually goes down to 141 from 142, but most people were projecting the cap to potentially go up to 145 or even 147.
Oof.
And so there is like this big, like today it should be like, oh no, because not only does the salary cap drop by a million, mm-hmm. but also the luxury tax doesn't go up.
Right.
And so that's a big deal as well. So if it's set at 172, where it could have been like 177 or 170,
that's a big deal.
That's a whole other player that you're fitting in. It's a really big deal. You know what just happened to the Warriors? They just, like, their next season got even uglier.
Yeah.
Like, their salary cap situation for next season, it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, it's a big deal, especially when you're looking at a free agent like Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Malik Monk, teams around the league thought, well, maybe I have an extra $3 or $4 million on top of this figure. That's gone now. There are now teams with less cap space than there were the day before.
Dang.
And so I think all of this plays into like a larger thing that when you are building a team, it just can't be, I got to go out and get every single high-end player, because we've seen what happened with the Warriors, where eventually even the like for the Kings, the De'Aaron Foxes of the world all of a sudden go from a $7 million player to a $27 million player in 1 year. And then next thing you know, he's up to a $32 or $35 million player. Then the next contract is going to kick in, and he's going to get up to like $70 million player at some point, right? There's all of these things that are projecting out. Well, that's what's happened to the Warriors. The reason why the Warriors, it's not because they were ridiculously silly in free agency, is that they kept paying their own talent. The Kings still have that.
Mm-hmm.
They still have a guy named Keegan Murray that's going to get paid. Mm-hmm. And then even in a way, Malik Monk is their own talent. He's a guy that had not found success in other stops.
Yeah.
He finds success here, and now how do you pay that talent?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, you can't whiteboard this thing out for February 8th, 2024. It's not the way it goes. You have to project everything. You have to see how all of these puzzle pieces fit in together. And I actually think it's why the Kings right now have been shopping for these guys that are locked up for 3 or 4 years. You know, the Kyle Kuzmas, the Jeremy Grants, because they're with those trades comes an understanding of what the future is.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't just trading for this year. You're trading for, you're acquiring a contract as well, which is why Kevin Huerter was such a valuable piece when you trade for him and he's starting a 4-year $65 million. Like, you understand what your budget is now. And so I think the Kings are trying to figure out what their budget is moving forward, but they also, to have these pieces that are solidified, that are budgeted pieces, that's a big deal, because like the one wild card going into this offseason is that you have no idea what someone's going to offer Malik Monk.
Sure.
But the other guys are all locked into place.
So would you... how do I put this? Okay. At the risk of this coming off the wrong way, and we'll figure it out then. Would you say then the Kings' goal is not to win a title this year?
No. I think that their goal, like if it works out that they win a title, sure.
Yeah.
But you have to make the moves to, you know, first of all, I think you had to give this team an opportunity to show you what they had in a second year, right? The run it back idea.
Yeah. I was mostly on board with that.
Okay. And then midway through the season, they didn't look like the run it back team. Like up to the first 41 games, they did not look like the run it back team. They looked like a totally different version of the previous team. Game 42, 43, 44. This looks like the run it back team, but with a better Keegan Murray. That's what it looks like. And so you're starting to like try to wrap your brain around what it is that you have. And I think it's so incredibly difficult for Mike Brown as a coach, but also Monty McNair.
Yeah.
Because you aren't just playing like trade machine. You're swapping out individual players that matter, that mean something to a coach, that means something to other players. Every piece has its value in some way.
Yeah.
Whether it's positive or negative. And then you got to figure out, how do I replace these with pieces that will fit and not have like the Iman Shumpert effect.
Yeah.
Where your team goes from way up here to like completely crumbles when they lose a guy who basically was barely playing, but meant something to the back end of the team, the spirit of the team.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like your question, whether they're playing for a championship. No, if they can make a deal that makes them a championship contender,
right?
Heck yeah, you make that deal.
Sure.
No question.
But is that deal out there? And that's...
And that's where we get back to the unknown.
Right, and that's...
That deal might be out there, we just haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, and that's where... So every team is trying to thread the needle of... And you get your teams like Boston, where your core is dynamite and locked in, and you're going to contend for a title every year, right? But you're also trying to map out, okay, what is the future? How do you continue contending for titles down the road?
Yeah.
And the Kings are trying to ostensibly do that same thing. They're trying to contend now while also figuring out how to contend for titles down the road. And typically my thought process on this is, if you can nuke your next 10 years for a championship today,
mm-hmm.
do it. I say that every time, but with the Kings specifically, I don't know that that trade is out there, because that earth-shattering deal means, like, Keegan Murray's out of here. Like, he would have to be a centerpiece of a deal like that. And I don't think that that deal is on the table that is also going to make the Kings a championship contender this year.
Okay, so I'm going to flip it around before we go to break. If you were to nuke this season, but give yourself an opportunity to win multiple championships down the road, would you do that? Because it's just the opposite of what you're thinking. And I think, yes. Mm. If you had to give up this season today, and it required you to make a 4-for-1 swap that you knew that there was a good chance you weren't going to be able to recover from, but it gave you the centerpiece that you needed to go along with Fox, Sabonis, Keegan Murray, then heck yeah, you do it.
Hmm.
Right? I mean, because that deal's out there. But I'll tell you what it would be after the break.
We're going!
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.